Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text of the second lesson, the word that occurs over and over and over, and the second lesson is faith. I elected not to use the gospel because when it stopped, the gospel ended. Actually, it ended before it started. If you get a lot of joy and peace out of what's there, you're doing better than I am, because I don't find bringing disaster on the earth to be the good news. But in the New Testament lesson, the writer to the Hebrews, and we're not told who that is. Some think it's Paul, some think it's other people. But the writer to the Hebrews is writing to the Hebrew Christians, to the Jews who had become Christians, so they could speak to them of people who were part of their history, people who had done things they had understood because they knew what they did and they knew who they were. So they talked about faith, and that was a thing that the Jews understood. They may not have always exercised it, but they did understand it. So the Heroes of Faith chapter is what you hear in Hebrews 11. And that's what we have here. They start out with Abraham. Remember the Abraham story? The three guys came and he's outside his tent, just minding his own business. And these three guys show up. And finally one of them says, "Where's your wife?" And he didn't say anything. And she was inside the tent just watching to see what was going on, because the standard was that the man would go out and visit whoever came and the woman would stay back and only do what she was told when she was told, and nothing if she wasn't. And so she just stood back and she listened and she walked and she wondered what was going on. And then one of them said, "We'll be back next year." And Abraham said, "Well, why don't you hang around for a minute? We'll see if we can't get something. We'll get a little water to wash your feet, get a little something for you to drink, and I'll have my wife make us something so we can have a little something to eat." So he went inside and he said to somebody, "Okay, go slaw, go kill off a lamb so that we've got meat. You," he said to his wife, "bake a cake, a couple, three of them, nice stuff, so that we can impress these people who came to visit us, and then we'll take care of their needs." And they did. And then finally one of them said, "Where's your wife?" And she came out. And they said, "Next year we'll be back here. We'll be back again, and you will have a son." And Abraham went, "Huh? You gotta be kidding me. There's no way." He was 100 years old, so it says. And even these days, with all kinds of medical miracles, you don't have kids when you're 100. We finally figured out that you don't have kids much past 30 because you can't survive them if you do. Us old people can't handle kids. But he had been moaning because he had no heir. He says, "I have no son, I have no heir. Eliezer of Damascus, one of the slaves in my house, he's my heir, I got nothing." And these guys said, "No, no, we'll be back in a year, and your wife will have a son." She's back in the corner going, "Pah, you gotta be kidding me." And she's cackling because there's no way. She said, "He's as good as dead, and I'm so old it doesn't even begin to be worth talking about. I'm gonna have a child now after all these years, after all the mockery I've gone through by these younger women who had all these kids and I had nothing, and they decided that God kept me barren as a curse. I'm going to have a child now?" And yet, in that year, when they reappeared, she had. And that was the child that was the end of the beginning of the promise, that would be the one who would be the seed, who would develop the people, who would be like the sand on the seashore, like the stars in the sky. And then it says Abraham took that child, whose name was Isaac, because God told him, "Take him up there on a mountain and sacrifice him to me. I want to know whether you believe in me or not. I want to test your faith, Abraham." So, you know, we're going back to the faith thing again. What is faith? Faith is trust. Faith is belief. Faith is hope. Mainly it's trust. So God says to Abraham, "Come on. I know you've got this son. this boy, the one that you hoped in that you thought you'd never have. And you believe now because you have him, but I want him. I want you to take him up on the mountain, and I want you to sacrifice him to me. So he took him up on the mountain, laid him on the altar, and he'd brought the twigs and the wood with him to build the fire. He laid him on the altar. He laid the wood on top of him. He took out the sword, and he was going to cut his throat. And he looked over, and there was a ram caught in the thicket. So he went, and he took that. He sacrificed that instead, because then he understood that God had tested him, and he'd passed the test, and God provided the sacrifice. Faith, the trust that things are going to go as we're told. Faith's a kind of a two-part thing. Faith and hope intertwine. But you don't have hope as the reason to see that faith happens. It's a result of faith. Faith is God's gift. Faith is something that happens because he wants us to know that he's there and cares. And you've got all those people lined up in that second lesson who were people who had faith and showed it in what they did. Showed it in how they reacted to what happened to them and how they reacted to how God dealt with them. So that's where we're at. We're not there. We're not in the first century. We don't see Jesus. We don't hear him other than what we hear in the words out of the word itself. We don't watch the miracles. We don't see him. We don't see him turning water to wine. We don't see him bringing people back to life. But we do have faith because we're given it. And faith allows us to believe that we're forgiven. So why do we need to be forgiven? Is there a reason for forgiveness? Yeah, the reason for forgiveness is why we confess, I am a sinful human being and I ask you to forgive my sins. Shirley LaVernier, who's here off and on, she reads when she's here, she brought a gal with her to church one time a number of years ago. And whoever was here at the time did the normal thing that we do in the confession and absolution. And this woman reacted really badly to the absolution. She says, nobody can forgive sins except God. How does that guy think he can do that? That's what we do. And that's why we do it. We're here to forgive our sins and to make us whole and to increase our faith, and our ability to trust God. That's what he does for us. He gives us the ability to trust him. So faith and trust work hand in hand. I asked somebody to define faith, and they said it's trust. Well, how do you know who to trust? Well, you have some idea by what they do. Sometimes that's a good indicator, and sometimes it's not. Sometimes your faith suffers because of the way people do behave. Sometimes, if you put it in the wrong place. So we're trusting that God will do for us what he says we'll do. In baptism, you've got water and word. You've got new life. I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You are now God's child. You may have a name, but we've got an extended name. We've got a name that's beyond all human names, which puts you in God's family and in his care and put you as part of this, engrafts you into this family. So you extend more than just your earthly family to those who are here who also support you in baptism. And then in the sacrament of the altar, we receive not just bread and wine, but the body and blood of Jesus Christ, given and shed for the forgiveness of sins. Faith, the ability to trust that what God has said he'll do, he does. Trust. Faith, hope. We get hope because we know that he's done that in the past. There's no reason to expect that he won't do it now. May our faith give us peace. May we rejoice in our forgiveness, in our hope, and our coming reunion with him when time ends. In him we pray. Amen.